both Rich and I really value building a team that can serve the church and equipping the church to pastor the church, equipping the church to be taking care of each other. And that's who we're meant to be, is a big body and a big family, and a family together on mission. And part of having a family that's equipped for mission is equipping that family to teach and to preach. And so if you've ever wondered, you know, hey, John does a lot of speaking, and, you know, and when John's not speaking, it's often Rich. You know, is there ever room for the ladies? And the answer is yes, of course there's room for the ladies. And we've had Hannah up here. We have had Hannah up here preaching. We've had Michaela up here preaching. And we have the great pleasure of having Hannah speaking and carrying us forward in Ezra today. And before she comes, I want to pray for the preaching of the word and the teaching of the word. Father, we thank you that you have given us your word, and we thank you for the authority of God that rests on your word. Lord, we thank you for being a part of a family where we can come together and feast on your word. We can learn from you. Thank you for your spirit that is present on the speaking and on the teaching of your words. Help us to receive what you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you. Hi, everybody. I'm Hannah. Hi, guys. I've been going to this church for as long as I can remember. Last year I spent in England, and I've come back this year bringing all of what I learned and all the growth I've been through to do what I'm doing today. So thank you, God, for these opportunities. My dad and I just recently went on a trip to Glacier, which was super fun. There were really pretty views. It was hot. It was very hot, but it was a lot of fun. We hiked up to Avalanche Lake, and for those who have not hiked up to Avalanche Lake, it is a steep uphill hike. It is not easy, and we stopped many times, but it was a really good trip, and I'm so thankful for that. It was about a 4 to 5 hour car ride back home, which is pretty exhausting because I've never driven that far by myself. And immediately when we started coming home, we unpacked the car. We took out all the food, bags, pillows, and then after all of that, I started to unpack my own suitcase, and I did laundry. And once I finally finished all of my tasks, I was able to rest. And let me just tell you, I was exhausted and slept really good that night. So, okay, I'm going to open us up into Ezra 8, 31 to 36, and I'm sorry if I butcher the names of these. On the 12th day of the first month, we set out from Ahava Canal to go to Jerusalem. The hand of our God was on us, and he protected us from enemies and bandits along the way. So we arrived in Jerusalem, where we rested 3 days. On the 4th day, in the house of our God, we weighed out the silver and gold and the sacred articles into the hands of Meremoth, son of Uriah, the priest. Eleazar, son of Phinehas, was with him, and so were the Levites, Jozabad, son of Jeshua, Nodiah, son of Binui. Everything was accounted for by number and weight, and the entire weight was recorded at the time. Then the exiles who had returned from captivity sacrificed burnt offerings to the God of Israel. 12 bulls for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 male lambs, and as a sin offering, 12 male goats. All this was a burnt offering to the Lord. They also delivered the king's orders to the royal satraps and to the governors of Trans-Euphrates, who then gave assistance to the people and to the house of God. So I see a lot of new faces today, or faces I've never seen before. So I'm just going to give you guys a brief overview of what we've been talking about for, this whole series we've gone through. So Ezra takes place 50 years after the people were exiled from Jerusalem. Ezra tells the story of some Israelites turning to Jerusalem, rebuilding the temple and their lives there. And in the last 2 weeks, what we've been going over, God has been providing a way. He provided the people with 3 key leaders through Ezra: Zerubbabel, Ezra, and Nehemiah, which is in the book Nehemiah. So, King Cyrus was moved by God and the issues to decree a decree to allow the exiles to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the temple. We have talked about Zerubbabel, whose efforts were mainly focused on bringing a large group of people back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Then Ezra comes along, and he focuses his efforts on teaching and rebuilding the community in Jerusalem. King Artaxerxes appoints Ezra to lead another wave of people back into Jerusalem. King Artaxerxes offers Ezra and his efforts protection, money, and resources. And last we talked about was how Ezra turned away Artaxerxes' soldiers and protection, proclaiming how the hand of our God is for good on all who seek him, and the power of his wrath is against all who forsake him. And then finally, at the end of 29:30, Ezra weighs out the gold and silver and gives it to the priests and Levites. And now they have to take all that gold and silver back to Jerusalem so they can weigh it out in the temple. Our first point is rest in him. At the beginning of Ezra 8:31, it says, on the 12th day of the first month, so this is about 4 months that they traveled to reach Jerusalem, 4 months carrying silver and gold. And after this traveling, they rested for 3 days. Like I mentioned in my story from Glacier, I'm not the greatest at resting before I do all my tasks. So the first thing I do after a long trip is I unpack and unload everything. But as we see it with these people in Ezra, even with carrying gold and silver, these precious things to them, they trusted God to guard them and their things for 3 more days so that they could rest. Our culture has a different version of this, which is hustle and sleep when you're dead. But God says, lay your concerns before me in prayer. Rest. I will make a way for you. This is something I have to constantly remind myself. Even this week, I packed my schedule pretty full. I had to cancel some plans that meant a lot to me. But I had to cancel them so I could seek God. Sometimes it takes us consistently and actively reminding ourselves to leave time to pray and listen and seek God. And Jesus modeled this so well. There's this book I've been reading over the last 2 years, so I'm really taking it slow. It's called Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. It's by John Mark Comer, and it's a book that's just really spoken into my life. He goes deep into depth on rest, our culture surrounding this, and Sabbath. And Jesus is constantly resting during his ministry. One prime example of this is in Matthew 3, Matthew 4, at the very beginning. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. When I hear the word desert or wilderness, as my translation is saying, I'm immediately thinking of like isolated, hot, kind of bleak, and deserted. So I don't have very good connotations for these words, apparently. And I get dehydrated pretty quickly. So being in the desert makes me think of weakness rather than strength. But I believe we have that wrong. So when I was thinking of this, of how could Jesus go head to head against the devil in the wilderness and desert where he's probably thirsty, tired, and he was hungry? But we do have this wrong. I'm going to go into a little bit of Greek, so stay with me here. Eremos in Greek means solitary or quiet place, or there's a couple of other translations, but for this, I think these are the ones that it's trying to get at, the solitary or quiet place. And this can mean many more things. But this Eremos is where Jesus was closest to God, when he is alone with God, building relationship and resting in his presence. And here's what John Mark Comer says about it. I'm just going to direct quote him because he says it so well. Jesus came out of the wilderness with all sorts of clarity about his identity and calling. He was grounded, in touch with God and himself. This is why it was top priority for Jesus. And this is why resting should be top priority to us. I'm not saying go spend 40 days out in the wilderness by yourself. You might dehydrate first. I am saying to set aside those tasks that keep getting placed first ahead of God and to actively make the time to rest in him. The people in Ezra knew that that type of rest was important, especially after such a long journey, and especially before they had so much work left to be done that I'm going to get into in just a moment. This is why they rested even though they carried money, important for their mission, that they didn't want to lose. At the very start of our series, John Meek posed a question where he says, where are you investing your life? So I'm going to take that question, I'm going to change it a little bit. Where are you investing your time? Maybe these are good things, but are still placed above your time and your rest with God. So let me ask you, are you investing any of your time in rest? If you struggle to find the time to rest, so did Jesus. The busier his life seemed to get and the more people that seemed to seek him, the more it seems he went to his quiet place. Rest in his provisions. At Ezra 8:31, it also says, he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from ambushes along the way. So here's a bit of a caveat. We don't know for sure if there were ambushes along the way, but either way, we can see God provided them with the protection and safe passage that they needed to get to Jerusalem. I was reading the Psalm 4:8. It says, in peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. I'm going to read that again. In peace I will lie down and sleep, for you alone, Lord, make me dwell in safety. I really encourage you guys to actually take some time, if you have any this week, to read the full psalm. There's a lot of parallels between it and the book of Ezra. But this psalm is David calling out to God for help. And although David was in pain, he's saying that he will trust and enjoy all the things God has done for him before. God provides for us. We should rest in that. Ezra 8:33-34. God provided them with resources. He provided them with Levites. He provided them with gold. He provided them with Ezra, with Artaxerxes. He fulfilled his promises, and he provided every step of the way. So I have a few health issues, and I take medicine and essentially stack up a lot of medical bills. But before I went to England, I was quite anxious over how I would get a doctor over there or how I would even get my medication over international waters. And this was such an obstacle in my way. This was my thinking. How could I possibly be called to mission when I could have such a hard time getting to where I need to go? But God made a way. All that worrying was for nothing. During Amplify, one of the themes that really spoke to me was don't let your age or health get in the way of what God is calling you to. He will make a way. I was stressing over this during Amplify as well, and that was shared. And then I remembered he did it before. He made a way before, and he can do it again. So why not spend that time that you're taking stressing and worrying and put it into prayer or fasting or resting in his presence? On to point three. Rest in his goodness. So Ezra 8:35-36. We see two types of sacrifices being made. One of them is a thanksgiving to God for his mercies. And I'm actually just going to read this. And I'm going to pull it closer because I also have terrible eyes. Then the exiles who had returned from captivity sacrificed burnt offerings to the God of Israel. 12 bulls for all Israel, 96 rams, 77 male lambs, and as a sin offering, 12 male goats. All this was a burnt offering to the Lord. So we see that the first one, this first type of sacrifice, is a thanksgiving. They're saying, thank you, God, for all of your mercies. And the second is a sin offering. And this is just to acknowledge their unworthiness of his mercies. God is good in our resting. Let us celebrate all he does for us. There's this quote from C.S. Lewis, and it says, life with God is not immunity from difficulties, but peace within difficulties. We will face trials, but we should find our rest in God's goodness and give thanks to him. We should rest in his presence. There's another psalm that I really like, and it says, for God alone my soul waits in silence. And this is Psalm 62:1. It was shared with one of the guys who did our ID last year, which was our theology training when we were in England. And it just spoke into my life. It says, for God alone my soul waits in silence. I have this actually hung up in my room as a reminder. It's just so helpful, I think, to remember that we should be silent and we should wait for God. We aren't going to hurry along whatever is stressing us by stressing over it. We need to remember to wait for God. Trust his plans for us. I just want us to acknowledge his thanksgiving and just praise God that no matter what, he is there for us. God, thank you for all you have done for me. I will trust you. I won't overthink. I will not worry about things out of my control. I will praise you for all you have done, and I will try and rest in you today, right now.